Singing this morning, thank you for joining together in these songs of praise to the Lord. I want to begin a series of messages through the book of Philippians. But before we get to the actual letter of Philippians, we need to do a little background and work our way into the book itself so that as we study the scripture, the letter that Paul wrote to this church in Philippi, we can understand it in its context. So today, if you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 13, and we're going to begin in Acts chapter 13, where Paul and Barnabas were called and commissioned on their mission trip, and one of the places they ended up, which we'll be going to, is Philippi. So today, the Lord willing, today and next Sunday, we'll do some background, and then the following Sunday, we'll actually start in the first few verses of the book of Philippians. So if you get the opportunity or take the opportunity, just read through the book of Philippians. It's only four chapters, I think, isn't it? Four chapters. Just read through it. Sit down and read through the book just like it's a letter written to you and see what you can discover on your own as we then will be preaching from that book here on Sunday mornings. I think that's the best way to understand the scripture is in its context. So we don't try to put 21st century ideas on first century reality. And so we'll be looking at that. And of course, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, or really the Acts of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit directed the apostles, is where we're going to look this morning, because God sent forth his servants to take the gospel to the world. And it is the book of Acts that helps us see how that actually took place as they went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. And you and I are here this morning because somebody obeyed God, right? Yes. Somebody obeyed God. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you and praise you that we can open the Bible this morning. We thank you for your truth, your word, Lord, in a world that is so confused, and not only confused, but so rebellious. Not wanting to know the truth and suppressing the truth that you've given, even the creation that cries out that you're God and that you've created this world. And so, Lord, help us as we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, that we will shine forth as lights in this world. Strengthen us, I pray, as we gather around your word. Edify us, build us up, encourage us. Help us, Lord, to be willing to go out into our world like these disciples did, like Paul and Barnabas and others, and take your message to where we are right here in Mills River and surrounding communities. So bless the word to us now, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read just the first three verses of Acts chapter 13 to get us started on what we're looking at here. Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." So here we have the account of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, working in this local church in Antioch, where there were gathered together prophets and teachers. So God had assembled in this local church gifted men who were prophets and teachers, much like he does in all of our churches. In this church here this morning, there are gifted men who are prophets, that is, preachers and teachers. God has given gifts and abilities to us. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But here we see, first of all, the commissioning by the Holy Spirit. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." It was not the denomination. It was not even the church at Antioch. It was the Holy Spirit who called these men. And any pastor or preacher or missionary or religious worker who is not called of God is not called. Whether their denomination sends them or whether they choose their profession, if you will. Over the years in the military, I met many chaplains who had no call to the ministry. They simply chose the chaplaincy because they went to some counselor somewhere, and they gave him an aptitude test and said, you know, your aptitude, you're sort of be a good person to be a minister, so why don't you choose that profession? And so they chose to be a minister, and then they chose to be a chaplain. Well, that's not the case here. The Bible tells us very clearly it was the Holy Spirit. After they were ministering to the Lord, it was the Spirit of God that spoke to their hearts and called these men, commissioned them into this ministry. And of course, this is consistent with what Jesus had to say. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's our great commission. And so these men were chosen by the Holy Spirit consistent with the mission that Jesus had given his disciples as he was about ready to go to heaven. It also said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And in John 15, 26, he said, the Spirit of God, he would give us the Holy Spirit who would testify of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is given to us to exalt Christ, to testify of him. So here we see it happening in this local church, that the Holy Spirit was commissioning these two men for the work that he was going to call them to perform. And notice the second thing about this, not only was he consistent with the words of Jesus, but this was a choice made by the Holy Spirit for a specific work to which he was calling these two men. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that the church has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the work of for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And it's the work of the ministry, the saints who do the work of the ministry. But that's a general statement. All of us who are Christians are supposed to be part of the work of the ministry. So there are no spectators. We're all on the field together. We're all playing the game together. We're all in this together. Now, God calls some people to be preachers and pastors and evangelists and so on. And so that's the role God has given to me, and I'm trying to fulfill that role the best I can. But some of you, God hasn't called you to be a preacher. You don't want to be a preacher. You have no interest in it. But God has given you a gift that is important to this ministry right here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Amen? If we were all preachers, what would happen? Nothing. It'd just be a lot of preaching every Sunday, but the lights wouldn't get turned on, you know, things wouldn't happen. And so God understands in the church, we need everybody, every gifted saint. And so the Bible tells us here in this particular verse that God was calling these two men to a specific ministry, and their ministry was going to be a ministry in which they were going out under the authority of the Holy Spirit through this local church to establish other churches in their world and fulfilling the Great Commission. And part of that was, of course, evangelism. They were going forth to preach the gospel. As I was studying this text and just looking at this idea of preaching the gospel, I noticed there are four words in the New Testament that are often translated preach the gospel or preach. One is a word that is used right here in Acts chapter 10 and verse 42. In Acts 10, 42, the scripture says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people. That is a word that means to proclaim. It was also used of those who would come to the towns and they would make announcements from the government. They were called heralds. Not herald like we have herald so-and-so, but heralds, those who would gather around the public square and they would say, hear ye, hear ye. And then they'd give an announcement. That was called a herald. That was also the word that's used for preacher. They were, in a sense, preachers. They were giving forth information. Then there's another word that is used that is also translated the same way in Acts chapter 13, verse 5, which we just looked at. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues. It's a different word, but it's more specific. They preached the word of God. They opened up the scriptures and proclaimed the scriptures. They announced the word of God. They publicly made known the word of God in the synagogues. Then there's another word found in Acts chapter 14 and verse 21. In Acts 14, 21, Luke writes, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city." So here's a little more specific. Not only were they making a proclamation publicly, not only were they preaching the word of God, but here they were preaching specifically the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what is the gospel? That he died, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. So they were proclaiming, they were preaching, they were speaking, they were making known this particular gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one more, the fourth word is used in Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. I like to hear that rustling of pages. That means you're looking up those verses in your Bibles. Acts chapter 16, verse 14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul." Not preached, not proclaimed, not announced, spoken. It's the word that's used in the New Testament, which means to just converse with somebody, to talk to somebody. It's the same word when Jesus sat down at the well with a woman, he spoke to her. He didn't really preach to her. And so my point in looking at this is that these men went forward. They were given a specific mission, and their mission was to take the gospel any way they could, publicly to proclaim it, publicly to announce it, publicly to preach the gospel, and even just in conversation to bring the gospel into people's lives. Now, can we do that? You say, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm not a preacher." Well, you don't have to be a preacher. You can converse with people. You can talk. Isn't it amazing how we can talk about all kinds of things? But when it comes to talking about the things of God, it seems like it's unnatural for us. It shouldn't be unnatural, should it? It should be natural. Especially for those of us who are Christians, and even if we're talking to people who aren't saved. There are ways for us, if we're really committed to do this, that we can lead conversations in the direction that we really believe God wants us to take them. Even a simple question of a friend like, you know, "Where do you go to church?" That's a very innocuous question. And yet some people will answer it with an answer that opens up an idea to understand where they are. If they say, "Well, I don't go to church anymore." Or, "I used to go to church, but, the preacher preached too long, and so I quit going." Or, "I used to go to church, but, you know, the deacons were a bunch of hypocrites, so I stopped going there." Or, "I used to go to church," or, "I don't go to church at all. I don't have any religion. I don't believe in church. I don't believe in all that religious stuff." It doesn't matter what their answer is. It's an open door for you to discuss with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't it? And that's what I think the point here is, that all through the gospel of all through the book of Acts and all through the Bible, we see God using different forms to communicate his word because that's on his heart. That's what he wants us to do as his people. And yet it's one of the things we have the hardest times. I have a hard time with it myself. Sometimes I stop in Ingalls. And there are a couple of men there that I've been witnessing to. And sometimes I see the guy named Bob. He's sitting over there in a chair in a corner, and he's drinking his coffee and reading a paper. And the Lord speaks to my heart, and I say, "I need to go sit down next to Bob and see if I can talk to him about the Lord." But there's something in me that says, "I don't want to bother him. Yeah, he's over there reading a paper. He probably don't want to hear from me. I've already talked to him." There's some resistance in me. I don't feel comfortable doing it. And the Holy Spirit has to really work on me to get me to interfere this man reading his paper so I can bring up the topic of faith with him. Do you have that problem ever? Well, that's because we need the boldness of the Holy Spirit in us, don't we? We need the compassion and understand these people need to be saved. And so this commissioning of the Holy Spirit that Paul and Barnabas were receiving was consistent with what Jesus wanted them to do and was a choice of a specific work that God wanted them to perform. And it began with evangelism, taking the gospel to a lost world, and it continued. It didn't stop there. Notice, we've just looked in Acts chapter 14. Go back there for a moment in verse 21. "And And when they had preached the gospel to that city, we saw that, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. In other words, they didn't just win people to Christ and then leave them on their own. They went back and they wanted to confirm and exhort and encourage and edify them in the things of God so that they would grow in their faith and not just be baby Christians, but they would begin to grow and mature as they were taught the things of God. That's called discipleship. And it's important for churches to do that. When we have people come to Christ and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they're saved, we need to gather them in as a little infant, take care of them, and help them grow in the faith and in their walk with God. And that's what the ministry was for, this specific work that God was calling Paul and Barnabas to do. They were to go and they were to evangelize, establish churches, and then go around and equip and encourage and edify the saints. Now, those are the things we have identified in this church as our mission. Number one, we want to exalt Christ. Everything we do here needs to exalt Christ. And if it doesn't exalt him, we don't need to be doing it. We don't want to do it. And so everything we schedule and all the programs and mission and ministries that we have at Emmanuel Baptist Church, the bottom line is this: does this exalt Christ? Yes. Secondly, does it encourage and equip and edify the saints? Is what we're doing helping people grow in the faith? And third, are we evangelizing? We don't want to just have a group of people in this congregation who come together every Sunday and it's like, well, we got enough people here now. I feel pretty good about this group. Let's don't bother with the rest of those folks out there. No, we need to have evangelism. We need to reach out to the lost. And the lost may not come into this building. They may not come here. We have to go out where they are. That's what Jesus did, and that's what Paul and Barnabas were doing in their call. They were evangelizing by going out. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, Jesus said. One of the things I enjoyed about the military chaplain ministry was the freedom that chaplains have to go anywhere and talk to people and witness. You know, I could go into a commander's office, a general officer. I could go into an enlisted guy, a sergeant major, a private, anywhere, the motor pool, the range, anywhere, for the purpose of talking to people about the Lord. Well, that's not just for chaplains, that's for all of us. Because we all have a circle of influence, and we all have certain friends and places where we have our reputation and our lives, and it is there where God wants us to be faithful to him. So the commissioning by the Holy Spirit, both for the evangelism and the equipping and edifying of God's people. And I pray that's what we're all about in this church. I appreciated Friday night in our movie night. The movie night, as I was thinking about it, number one, exalted Christ, didn't it? I don't know how you could have exalted Christ more than what that movie did. Secondly, did it edify the saints? Were you edified, those that were able to come? I was. And third, was it evangelistic? Was the gospel there? Very clearly. Those are the kind, not just that film, but those are the kinds of ministries, and some of them may be more edification and evangelism and so on. But my point here is that everything we do needs to glorify Christ, build up the church, and reach the lost. Let's don't waste our time doing other things that don't fit into those categories. We only have 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, right? So we want to invest our time and energy in the most productive places. And so first of all, the commissioning of the Holy Spirit by these men. Now I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 16. We're going to walk through chapters 14 and 15 as Paul and Barnabas are on their way. We come now to Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach a word in Asia, after they had come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him and said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the port of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. So here they are. They make their way to Philippi. And it's in Philippi where this church got started, to which the letter was written. And that's why it's important for us to see the flow of how Paul was called with Barnabas for a particular ministry, planting churches, and eventually he ends up in Philippi, where he planted the Philippian church in that letter that he wrote to them. So what do we see in Acts chapter 16? Well, we saw in 13 the commissioning of the Holy Spirit. We see here the communication of the Holy Spirit. Paul and his companions were on their way. They weren't just sitting in some city. They didn't just hang around Antioch and say, well, I guess when the Lord wants us to go somewhere, he'll tell us. He'll make it sure. No, they were moving. Paul had a plan. His head a strategy. And often his plan was to go to the major cities in the commercial areas and where there were synagogues so he could go preach the gospel. So it wasn't like Paul was just sitting back doing nothing and waiting for God to kind of kick him and get him moving. He was already moving. God didn't have to overcome any inertia in his place. He was already moving. F.F. Bruce, in his commentary, I like what he said. He said, Paul's missionary journeys display an extraordinary combination of a strategic planning and keen sensitivity to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He planned, but he prayed before he went. He prayed and planned. He asked God, and so God gave him direction, and so he moved in that direction. Now notice here, we see that the Holy Spirit communicated to him, but the first thing he communicated was a prohibition. He said in verse 6, we were going to go up into Phrygia and the region of Galatia, but we were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. That's kind of strange, isn't it? And then verse 7, he says, and after we come to Mysia, we essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. In other words, the Holy Spirit said no. Okay, God, we want to go up into Asia and preach the gospel. No, not now. Well, how about Bithynia? No, not now. God, don't you care about those people? Don't you know they're lost? They need to hear the gospel, and we can go up there and preach and, you know, win people to Christ. And God said, no, that's not my plan, Paul. Maybe yours, but not mine. You ever had that happen in your life? We plan. We think this is the direction I'm going. And God says, no, I don't want you to go there. Not now anyway. Maybe never, but at least not now. And God closes the door. Sometimes we decide, well, I'm going to bust that door down because that's where I'm going. And God says, no, you're not. You know, we ought to thank God that he doesn't let us bust doors down, because we break them down and get through, we find ourselves in a lot of trouble, right? Paul and Barnabas were sensitive to the Holy Spirit in them. And you and I have the same Holy Spirit today that they had back then. And he is the same Holy Spirit who wants to direct our steps and guide our lives according to what we know in the Word of God. He never leads us contrary to Scripture. So we need to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Hazel and I, for a couple of times and a couple of decisions we've had to make over these years, you know, we've had to pray and depend upon the Holy Spirit, just like you. When I got ready to retire while we were still in Germany, we were thinking about coming back to the United States. And it seemed like the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to go back to the United States. I want you to go to this little village called Garmisch. And that was a big change for us. We'd already been in Germany almost 3 years on that tour. And so the Lord opened the door. We moved through, and we ended up staying there 10 more years. That ended in a way that we had no choice. God closed that door. We came back to the United States. We were here about 4 years, and through an email that I received, as many of you know, a church in Stuttgart, Germany, looking for a pastor. A friend of mine said, you know, I believe that God wants you to do that. I said, I don't think so, because it's too complicated. We can't do it. The more we prayed and thought about it, the more likely it was that God was calling us. And so we locked the doors of the house and packed things up. And Edith and Carol then stepped up to help us and take care of our property. We went off to Stuttgart, Germany for 1 year. 3 years later, we came back. The Holy Spirit directing. Now, we don't always listen like we should, but I'm thankful that we paid attention in those times. That's what was true of this communication of the Spirit. The Spirit said, no, not now. But you know what? It wasn't because God didn't care about those people. If you read 1 Peter chapter 1, where Peter's introducing that first book, and he's writing to the pilgrims who were in all these different places, he mentions Asia and Bithynia. There were Christians in these countries when Peter was writing. Where did they come from? God sent somebody. God sent the message to them, even though it may not have been Paul and Barnabas at the time. God has a desire for people to be saved, and God will use us and guide us and direct us if we'll simply make ourselves available to him. There are people, listen, there are people that you can be a witness to that no one else will be able to be a witness to. You believe that? There are people in your life that only you will have opportunity to witness to. Be a person who listens to the Holy Spirit and his communication. And when he says no, we need to say, okay, I got it. But that wasn't all. There was something else here about this prohibition, and I wanted to throw this in because sometimes it's not the Holy Spirit that prohibits us or hinders us. Sometimes it is the devil. Listen to these words in 1 Peter or 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Paul's writing to Thessalonians. He says, when we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but what? Satan hindered us. Sometimes it's not the Holy Spirit that says no. Sometimes it's the devil that doesn't want us to go there because he knows that great things are going to happen if we go. And the devil sometimes uses fear. We're afraid. We're afraid to go there because it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to expect. I'm afraid I might fail. I might not be able to say the right thing. Often in our witnessing, fear overtakes us and we convince ourselves we can't witness to people because we don't know enough of the Bible or we don't know all the answers. Or we're not smart enough. They might make us feel stupid. You know, they might ask us a question we can't answer, or they may just get angry with us, or who knows what may happen. And so fear overtakes us, and we just don't witness for Christ because we're afraid. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the devil. Sometimes it's lack of faith. We just don't believe. We don't believe God's able, or we don't believe he's willing. Say, well, I want to witness to so-and-so, but they're so hard, they're so evil in their ways, they'll never get saved. There's no sense wasting the gospel on them. No, that's not true. Somebody wasted the gospel on you. Somebody came into your life and was willing to say, I'm going to be a witness to that person. My dad witnessed to me and took me to, as I've told you before, an evangelistic meeting, and I heard a preacher and I heard the gospel. God convicted me and I was saved. You think about the time when you came to Christ. Who was it that God used in your life? And who was it that was obedient to him to tell you about Jesus? And will you be obedient to Jesus to tell somebody else about him? Sometimes it's physical events. Sometimes it's illness or accidents and so on. And we plan to do something or go somewhere and God stops us or the devil hinders us. We have to have discernment to know what's going on as God leads us. The communication of the Holy Spirit. And so, of course, the Spirit of God said no in verses 6 and 7, but then he said yes in verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and he prayed him and said, come over into Macedonia and help us. It must have really charged up the Apostle Paul. A man of Macedonia in an appearance, in a dream, a vision. Said, please, come over to Macedonia and help us. Of course, he's on the continent of Asia. And he's going to cross over from the continent of Asia onto the continent of Europe. So you see the movement of the gospel from Asia and all the places he'd been in Asia. Now he's going across into Europe, and that's where the gospel then, the first place in Europe that had the gospel was Philippi. Because Paul and Barnabas listened to the Holy Spirit, and God said no to one place, but yes to another. And you notice not only was there an appearance in verse 9, but there was action. They took action in verse 10. It says, after we'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Immediately. In other words, God told us to do something and we did it immediately. We didn't wait around. We didn't argue with God. We didn't try to rationalize or try to convince ourselves or justify or whatever. We went ahead and we did what God told us to do. God has already told us what to do as Christians. We're to be witnesses for Christ. We don't need to think about it and figure it out. We just need to do it. And if we're not ready to do it, then we need to get ourselves ready. Memorize some scripture. Get some verses in your mind and heart so that you're ready to witness for Christ. And then finally, the third point that I'm looking at here before we next week move into the actual conversions that took place in Philippi. They were committed to the Holy Spirit. It says, from thence to Philippi. Just those few words, verse 12. From Troas and this other place and Neapolis, from there to Philippi. In other words, we were committed to follow what God was leading us to do. Boy, that's a real need in our day today. Commitment. Commitment to follow the Lord. Commitment to be consistent in doing what God wants us to do. Just little things that we've mentioned here before. On a daily basis, reading the Word of God. Being committed to do that. You say, well, that's just, you know, that's no big deal. Yes, it is for some people. They can't even make that commitment. Just get into the Bible at least once a day and read some scripture and look to see what God has for us. Prayer. Are we committed to pray? Think about the movie Friday Night, The War Room. Are we serious about our prayer life? Are we serious about fellowshipping together, attending services, coming together when God's people meet? And I'm not suggesting to you this morning some legalistic stuff on the wall that says, okay, you got to do all these things to be a good Christian. It's not so much legalism. It's what's in our heart. What do we want to do? What are we willing to do? But are we committed to following Jesus Christ? Committed to him. Paul and Silas were committed to taking the gospel. And as I said earlier, I'm glad they were. Because if they hadn't been committed, we wouldn't be here this morning. So who is it out there in our world that's waiting for us to hear the message? And who are we willing to share the gospel with as the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us as we move in our Christian life, in our Christian circle, and in a world in which we live where people need the gospel? Let's ask the Lord to help us to be faithful in our own walk with him and in our witness to others. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your word. We realize, Lord, how short we often fall in these areas of our lives, and we know, God, that you already know that. And so we pray that you would strengthen us. Help us, Lord, to see the example of these men and the power, Lord, that you had in their lives as they surrendered, submitted themselves to you. How that you called them and sent them like you've called us and sent us, Lord. How that you have communicated to them through the Holy Spirit as you do to us and through your word. And Lord, how we need to be then committed to follow you, even when the task is difficult and seems too much and too troublesome and too much sacrifice and too much difficulty. Lord, help us to be willing to say, that is not going to stop me. I'm going to continue on to follow the Lord. So Lord, help us, I pray. We thank you and praise you for your blessings and goodness. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, just for a moment, just think about your own life now. Think about your commitment to Jesus Christ, not only as your Savior, but as your Lord. What does he want you to do? And are you willing to do it? Father, give us willing hearts, I pray. As we close our service this morning, I pray your Holy Spirit would deal with us, Lord, as only he can in the depths of our soul. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn.